Good afternoon. This is Carol Bond reading with you today the Decatur Herald Review, dated July 14th, 2015. We'll begin today's reading with a local article of interest, New Ameren Substation Powers City's Flow of Electricity. This was written by Tony Reed, H&R staff writer. The German group Snap enjoyed a worldwide hit in 1990 with a song that featured the pounding hook line, "I've got the power." Charge forward 25 years, and if the Ameren, Illinois Electrical Substation Enhancement Project at 515 East Main Street was in the market for a theme song, it could do worse. This substation really does have the power, all 138,000 volts of it. It's one of the key on-ramps for electrical energy flowing into the city for thousands of homes, dozens of small businesses, and a handful of industrial giants such as Mueller Water Products Corporate. All in all, it supplies a third of Decatur's power needs. But Ameren, Illinois is particularly concerned about what happens when it doesn't have the power if something goes wrong. The substation's six-month, $3.5 million overhaul finished in June. It's part of its answer to that crucial what if. New equipment upgrades have seen the installation of enhanced circuit switching gear featuring SCADA, S-C-A-D-A, which stands for Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition. SCADA enables us to see what's going on and enables us to remotely open and close breakers and restore power much faster, said Matt Johnson, 55, the utilities superintendent of substation and relay for its Division 3 zone, which covers the Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, and Decatur area. Other key Main Street substation improvements include its two massive transformers, which have been beefed up to handle more power and can now be switched by remote control. And engineers can also use remote control to switch between the major north and south power lines which feed the substation. Before, all these transformer and feed control operations had to be done manually, burning up lots of frustrating time when problems arose. Johnson also said that the Main Street substation is part of a key power triangulation with other major substations at North 27th Street and North Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, supplying power to industrial giants that include Archer Daniels Midland Company and Tate and Lyle. Any two substations can handle the load of the remaining one to keep the system operational if there's a titanic problem. They all back each other up, he said, but before we did the improvement work, well, let's say the East Main substation would have been getting too close to its upper limit parameters if that situation arose. Johnson said he knows talking enhanced switching gear and breakers and wires causes a serious power fade in most people's attention spans, but he's also keenly aware how the public's interest in his day job spikes dramatically as soon as the lights go dark. Nobody wants to hear from us until the power goes off, and then they all want to hear from us, he said. Ameren, Illinois spokesman Brian Brech said the utility wants to minimize those dark moments by improving power supplies and hardening the system against failures. It's just part of our overall plan of service reliability and improvements all across the state, he said. We're working on it. A photograph accompanying this story shows a mammoth machine. It's all gray and dark with the grids and steel. And the headline says, Apprentice Steve Parnell of the L.E. Myers Company transports ground rods during improvement work at the Ameren, Illinois substation at 515 East Main Street. In Macon County news, Ryan Voiles, H&R staff writer, has this article. County departments prep for state budget shortfall. While Macon County departments with grants have some short-term optimism, officials have begun contingency plans if the state does not pass a budget. Though no plans are officially in place, County Auditor Carol Reed and Finance Committee Chairman Jay Dunn have reached out to department heads to make such plans as lawmakers in Springfield continue to struggle to agree on a budget for the fiscal year that began July 1st. Several department heads said they are well aware of the upcoming challenges and have begun to plan accordingly. Patrick Berter, director of Macon County Probation and Court Services, said most of his department's grants do not include salaries and they can weather the budget situation until about September, as long as DUI grants that do cover salaries are funded. As long as it does not affect salaries, I feel we can weather it for a while, he said. Diana Heyer, Macon County Health Department Administrator, said she felt the local health protection grant should be all right, but that her department will not hire anyone to fill 6 positions currently open. There could be some decreases in the amount of funds, but Heyer said she did not know yet which programs would be affected. Jean Moore, Executive Director of the Macon County Child Advocacy Center, said operations will continue as normal, with some expenses out of the center's Friends account. However, she said it would be a temporary fix. The potential loss of grants and other state funds comes at a time when the county's general fund, which supports most county operations, has gotten low enough that officials are wondering whether it will lead to further cuts in the next budget. Reed said the county board could also look at tapping its rainy day fund, which is set up for whatever purpose that the board needs to maintain budget stabilization. The fund, which requires 2/3 vote by the county board to access, currently has $1,658,000. Dunn has said he will call other top officials together to look at the revenue flow, as well as revenue and expenses for the past 4 to 5 years for each department to see if there are any red flags or other options that officials can use to save money. We'll turn now to news of crime and courts. Huey Freeman has written this article. Argenta man's alleged water theft yields arrest. A 40-year-old Argenta man was arrested on charges of theft of government property and theft of utilities for allegedly removing his water meter register to steal water estimated between about $1,300 and $4,100. During an interview with a Macon County Sheriff's detective and deputy who were investigating the theft, George W. Kaufman laughed and said he did not want this to be a big deal, said an affidavit by Deputy Seth Major. An official of the village of Argenta contacted the sheriff's office after he was tipped off about a possible water theft in the 200 block of East Elm Street. The official said he observed the water meter register to be removed from the water meter housing and lying in the bottom of the water pit, Major wrote in his statement. The official said this would allow water to be used without registration for billing purposes. Estimates of the amount of water stolen were based on the use at that address in 2010, when the water meter register was still connected. Calculations were made based on highest and lowest monthly amounts of water use. When Kaufman was interviewed on Sunday, Detective Roger Pope asked him if he was going to be honest with him. Kaufman replied, "Yes, I have a pretty good idea what this is about," then laughed, Major wrote in the affidavit. During the interview, Kaufman acknowledged that he had a relative who worked at the water department in the past. He answered affirmatively when asked if he gained knowledge of the water metering system through that relative. Kaufman stated that he did not want this to be a big deal, and then asked if it was going to be a big deal, the affidavit noted. He subsequently said he wanted to have a lawyer present before continuing with the interview. During the interview, Kaufman never denied the theft, according to the affidavit. After he was arrested Sunday and booked into the Macon County Jail, Kaufman posted $500 cash bail and was released. He's due in court for his arraignment August 14th. We'll turn now to the obituaries. Toby Joseph Ashburn, 44, of Blue Mound, Illinois, passed away on Saturday, July 11th, 2015. A service to celebrate Toby's life will be held at 10 a.m. on Friday, July 17th at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home, Blue Mound. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation from 5 to 8 p.m. on Thursday. Toby will be laid to rest in Old Stonington Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be directed to American Breast Cancer Foundation. Ronald G. Ronnie Dickey, 59, of Decatur, passed away Tuesday, July 7th, at his residence. A memorial service will be held at 6 p.m. on Thursday, July 16th, at Boiling Springs Church of God. Casual attire is requested. Burial will be in Macon County Memorial Park Cemetery, Decatur, at a later date. The family is being served by Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home, 2091 North Oakland Avenue, Decatur. Pauline Evelyn Eaton, 93, of Windsor, was welcomed into God's pearly white city at 9:58 p.m. Sunday, July 12th. Funeral services will be held 11 a.m. Thursday, July 16th at New Beginnings Apostolic Church, Sullivan. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. Wednesday, July 15th at McMullen Young Funeral Home, Sullivan. Burial will be in the Mount Zion General Baptist Cemetery, Coles Station. Memorials may be made to the New Beginnings Apostolic Church, Sullivan. Dana Jean Gower, 57, of Decatur, passed away at 2:01 p.m. Sunday, July 12th, in his residence. A service to celebrate Dana's life will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, July 17th, at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home, Mount Zion. Burial will be in Mount Gilead Cemetery. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation beginning at 10 a.m. until service time Friday morning at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to Salem Baptist Church or Wounded Warriors Foundation or the Salvation Army. Peggy J. Hornback of Argenta passed away at 2:55 a.m. July 12th at Heartland Healthcare Center, Decatur. Funeral services will be 2 p.m. Tuesday, July 14th at Calvert Funeral Home, Argenta, with Pastor Bob Baker officiating. Burial will follow at Friends Creek Cemetery, Argenta. Friends may call from 1 to 2 p.m. Tuesday at Calvert Funeral Home, Argenta. Memorials may be made to Argenta United Methodist Church or Alzheimer's Association. Kathleen L. Koonsman, 63, of Windsor, Illinois, passed away at 9:35 p.m. Saturday, July 11th, in Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A memorial service will be held at 10:30 a.m. July 16th in Ash Grove Christian Church near Windsor. Visitation will be 5 to 8 p.m. Wednesday in the church and 1 hour before the service in the church on Thursday. Memorials may be made in Kathleen's memory to Ash Grove Christian Church or Crossroads Cancer Center in Effingham, Illinois. Eula May Rowe departed this life on July 7th, 2015. Visitation will be held 6 to 8 p.m. Wednesday, July 15th at the Greater Mount Olive Baptist Church. Funeral service will be 11 a.m. Thursday, July 16th at the Greater Mount Olive Baptist Church. Carolyn Esther Schnepf Schaefer, 66, of Glenham, formerly of Barry, went to our Lord at 3:43 p.m. July 10th at Memorial Medical Center in Springfield. Funeral ceremony will be conducted at 11 a.m. Wednesday, July 15th at Staub Polk Memorial Home. Burial will follow at Chatham Memorial Cemetery. Carolyn's family will greet friends from 4 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, that's today, July 14th, at Staub Polk Memorial Home in Chatham. Memorial contributions may be made to the Chatham Fire Department, No. 1 Fireman Square, Chatham, Illinois, or Mount Zion Christian Church in Mount Zion. Dolores Alice Thoman, 85, of Vandalia, died at 6:15 a.m. Saturday in her home. Services will be 10 a.m. Wednesday in Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Vandalia. Visitation will be 5 to 8 p.m. Tuesday in Hoet and File Funeral Home, Vandalia, and 1 hour before services in the church. Burial will be in McKintuff Cemetery, Vandalia. Memorials, Fayette County Relay for Life, or Holy Cross Lutheran Church. We'll turn now to some columnists. Here's a letter to Dr. Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, a year ago I weighed 175 pounds. My wife was quite concerned when I started to lose weight. I am generally in good shape. I visited my local internist and he ordered a series of blood tests, CT and MRI scans, and a brain scan, all of which were favorable. However, I continue to lose weight and am now down to 155 pounds and also quite concerned. I feel well and eat 3 good meals each day, including dessert. Have you run across this before? Can you give my doctor and me your advice? And the initials for this letter are WMK. And Dr. Roach's answer. Unexplained weight loss is not an uncommon problem in clinical medicine. There are many causes, and I am sure your internist has looked for many of them. There are way too many for me to list, but they come in five general categories. The first is not getting or absorbing enough calories. Malabsorption states, such as SPRU or chronic pancreatitis, can keep your body from getting enough nutrition despite eating plenty. Diarrhea is almost universal in these cases. The second is losing the calories you are taking in, and out of control, diabetes mellitus is by far the most common cause. An elevated metabolic rate is third, and hyperthyroidism is the classic example. Chronic disease is the fourth, and cancer in particular has several ways it can cause weight loss. Chronic infections also sometimes show progressive weight loss. The fifth major category is psychiatric disease, especially depression, but anorexia nervosa as well. Sometimes no cause can be found, and sometimes people gain back the weight. However, it's also the case that a condition reveals itself after months or even years, so you and your doctor need to diligently look for symptoms that you notice and signs that he discovers on exam or by laboratory findings that might indicate why you are losing weight. The fact that you are eating well and still losing weight suggests a hypermetabolic state or calorie loss. I'd be willing to bet that your doctor looked at your thyroid, but you haven't mentioned stool studies. Fat in the stool is the simplest test for malabsorption. Turning to another letter to Dr. Roach. With summer traveling upon us, what about food offered on the street in foreign nations? One would like to wash such things before eating, but even the water sometimes is unfit to drink. Would it be practical to buy bottled water and to then wash off vendor food? Or should tourists simply eat only food offered when they are back in their hotel, ship, or such? Initialed NMG. And his answer. Traveling in less developed countries offers many worthwhile experiences, including trying new foods. No matter where you eat, hotel, ship, restaurant, or street, there is always a risk of acquiring an unwelcome visitor to your gut, such as bacteria, virus, or parasite. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends against street fare, but several studies have suggested that it isn't any riskier than restaurant meals. If you choose to be adventurous and try street fare, some tips I can offer to reduce the risk from street fare would include: eat food that is cooked in front of you rather than pre-cooked. Never eat anything uncooked that you don't peel yourself or rinse with your own bottled water. Keep your own hands clean with alcohol gels. Choose busy vendors, especially those catering to locals. Eat early in the day, not what has been sitting around. The CDC gives additional advice at its website. Here's a letter to Dear Abby. Dear Abby, I have just learned that my sister's husband of 35 years, I'll call him George, hasn't filed their personal income taxes going back a number of years. This has caused a lot of stress and anxiety for my sister, who recently underwent breast cancer treatment. Apparently, he hasn't filed because of his inability to organize. His family has denial issues. Their professional tax preparer has met with both of them and tried to work out a step-by-step program, but George consistently fails to meet the deadlines. I love my sister and want to be as supportive as possible, but I'm unsure what I can do. I have advised her to seek therapy. She has copies of business-related documents relating to the unfiled tax periods, but not enough information to file on her own. On top of everything else, she has several relationship issues with her children that are causing her grief. What else can I do? And this is signed Helpless Big Brother. And Abby's reply is this: Dear Brother, failure to file one's taxes is a federal crime that could land your brother-in-law and sister in the slammer. That's why you should urge your sister to do something she should have done years ago: take over the family finances. She and her husband may need more help than their CPA has been able to give them. A group that I have mentioned in my column before is the National Association of Enrolled Agents, NAEA. These are tax specialists, some of whom are attorneys and CPAs, who are specifically licensed by the Department of the Treasury. Tell your sister to contact an enrolled agent by visiting www.naea.org today. And one more letter. Dear Abby, I recently moved in with my boyfriend Teddy. We are both in our 20s. 5 years ago, he married his high school sweetheart. 2 years later, she cheated on him and left. Teddy and I have talked about the situation countless times. I know he doesn't love her anymore and cares for me a lot. Abby, I lose sleep over their relationship. I can't stop thinking about how she left him, not the other way around, and if he hadn't caught her cheating, they would still be together. I Googled her to see if I can find out anything about them. I check her social media sites multiple times a day. I know I'm being ridiculous, but I'm obsessed with her. Teddy is such a caring man. He tells me everything I want to know. But my obsession with her and their relationship is starting to get to him. I don't want to lose him, but at the same time, I wonder if I will have to leave because I can't get over their marriage. What should I do? Signed, Obsessed in Ohio. Dear Obsessed, there's an old saying that applies to your situation. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Your boyfriend's ex didn't recognize what a prize she had, fouled the nest, and threw him away. How lucky for you that she did. I can understand your being curious about her. What I can't understand is your compulsion to stalk her online. What she's doing these days has no effect on you or your relationship with Teddy. If you keep this up, you will drive him away. If you can't stop, find a licensed mental health professional who can give you the tools to overcome your security. It will be money well spent. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the July 14th issue of the Decatur Herald and Review. Please stay tuned.